Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
And welcome back to Stomp This Way today. Oh. What?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Where's the Kool-Aid man when you need him? Definitely not in this movie. Well, anyway, what are we reviewing this week?
The Lake.
The Lake. The Lake. So, are you excited?
Yeah. Seen this movie before.
Yeah, both of us have seen this movie before. This is our second viewing. We watched it when I first got it on Blu-ray back in the day. What?
I enjoyed it back in then, those days.
Back in those days, like 1 year ago.
The good old days.
The good old days. Yeah. Well, some production trivia. This is a Thai-Chinese co-production, which means that it was made by Thai filmmakers, funded, at least in part, by Chinese studios. The monster was designed by Dordu Shell, who has also worked on a bunch of Hollywood movies, such as Cloverfield, The Thing, Starship Troopers, Avatar, Men in Black, Planet of the Apes, The Mist, Cabin in the Woods, and Predators.
Wow.
Wow. And the creature is a combination of animatronics and CGI. And I also think a bit of suitmation in spots.
Yeah. But
the box office, I couldn't find much. It was released in Thailand on August 18th of 2022. Released, I think, on DVD or Blu-ray in the U.S. on March 14th of 2023. And I don't know if Box Office Mojo tracked its full box office run or just select countries or whatever, but it has it at grossing just under $250,000 globally.
Not the greatest.
Yeah. I hope it had good physical media sales.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it costs to make, but I would imagine at least a couple million, probably a little more. But anyway, we are going to watch a trailer, listen to a trailer. Then we'll come back, read off the cast and crew, read off a plot synopsis that I have hastily put together. And then we'll talk about The Lake. And stick around to the end to hear our reaction to the new trailer of Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. Ooh. But anyway, see you in a bit. All right, we're back. cast and crew is as follows. I thought about just not reading the cast and crew because I'm going to butcher these names really bad. So I apologize in advance. But here we go. This is directed by Lee Thongkam, written by Lee Thongkam, music by Bruno Brignano, and starring Sushar Manaying, Therafat Sajikul, Panachat Panyachat, Wanmei Chatborarak, Sufanza Vijikama, and Vidyaya Pansringam. I don't know.
I don't think you said any of those right.
I don't think so either. Like I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But let's just get on with the plot summary, shall we? Shall we? Shall we? So basically, the movie goes like this. In rural Thailand, siblings Kang, Lin, and Mei have their lives turned upside down when a monster rises from the local lake and attacks their village. Their father is killed, Kang is gravely wounded, and their youngest sister, Mei, goes missing. Lin rushes Kang to the hospital, and as he begins to heal, he realizes he has a psychic connection to the creature. Meanwhile, Inspector James is investigating the carnage left in the wake of the monster. Along for the ride is his partner Vit and his daughter Pam, who is suspended from school. Kang and the police eventually find the monster and capture it, but the cries of the creature bring his mother into town. James, after stumbling across Mei, is the first to encounter the mother on her way into town, and his daughter Pam is killed during the encounter. While he and his crew rush back into town in an ambulance, the mother creature is closing in on the population center, where the baby is captured. After everyone realizes that the big monster is only after the child, Kang drives off in the vehicle holding the small creature captive, and the mother follows. In the days that follow, the police blame the monster sightings on a movie shoot and the destruction on thunderstorms, while Mei and Lin are reunited, and James retires from the police force. 5 years later, James once again encounters the creature in a cave as credits roll.
Ooh.
Ooh. So anyway, Andrew, how many movies from Thailand have you seen?
I would say at least a few, probably.
Really?
I don't know. We watched a lot of things, man.
I've watched a few Thailand movies. I'm trying to think of ones that you might have watched with me. Really, the only one that I know that we've watched together was that really bad Ultraman co-production where he fought or teamed up with Hanuman or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that was a Thai movie.
Yeah. I've seen more.
I don't know what other Thai movies we may or may not have seen, but yeah. I've seen a few Thai productions, but not very often that you watch a Thai movie.
No.
So it's a bit different. So I don't know what I really expected going into this. But, you know, I'd heard good things going into it before we watched it. But let's just start with the beginning. The movie starts kind of in the Thai countryside. This is a fishing village, I guess, on a lake somewhere in Thailand. It's the rainy season, I guess, because there's a lot of rain in this movie.
A lot of rain.
And the movie pretty much gets right into it. We're introduced to some of our main characters. Kang, I think his sister's name is Lin. I think that was Lin. There was someone named Lin in this movie. And then I know the little sister is named Mei.
Mm-hmm.
But a slightly larger than man-sized creature comes out of the lake. First, they think it kills Mei because she finds an egg. And then the movie cuts away, and then her siblings just find her sandal floating or whatever. But Kang gets attacked in the water, but he gets away. I don't know how he gets away, because this creature had him dead to rights in the water. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then it goes on to land and kills people in the rice fields or whatever they were. And, you know, then Kang and his sister escape. Kind of like at the end of Texas Chainsaw, where she stumbles across a truck coming across the road and hops in the back. It's kind of what they do here.
Yeah.
But anyway, then we're introduced to James. He's a police inspector. He's kind of following the crime scenes or the attack scenes around. And
with his partner, Vit.
Vit, yeah. I'm very appreciative that these Thai people go by short nicknames.
Yeah.
Because I could never follow their real names.
No.
But, yeah, so he's following around and he's got a daughter that's getting in trouble at school. His wife, her mother, has just died fairly recently, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some strife there. We also have these two researchers that are pretty prevalent at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
But totally drop out in the second half. They show up at the end for like 30 seconds or something. And then you have the police captain and his daughter. One of the problems with this movie is that it has too many characters for a creature feature. So too many plot threads it's trying to follow, which detract from the creature action.
Yeah.
And I'll say this is a movie that gets it half right. There is, you know, we'll talk about effects later. I appreciate the combination of practical and digital effects in this movie. Overall, good.
Mm-hmm.
Cinematography is
not bad.
At times, pretty good, especially towards the beginning of the movie where we have like these grand sweeping drone shots of the Thai countryside.
And that first monster attack was actually not bad choreographed.
Yeah. Could have been better, I think. I think
the first with the human
the
size
very
one,
what?
The human size.
The human size, yeah. I don't know. The very opening scene where like the it's at night and the rain and they see the big monster come out of the water looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Nice cinematography. Really. Shot really well. I mean, like I said, at times this movie is shot really well. At times during the action scenes or the monster attacks, I don't know. It's not there's too much POV and extreme close-up shots with blurred focus and bad editing.
It wasn't that.
And I think that one of this movie's problems is that the way that the creature scenes are filmed and edited and the way they cut away and cut back really drains this movie of any tension that it may have otherwise had. But, you know, getting back to the plot, we have the small creature and basically Kang, they kind of do the E.T. thing where after he gets attacked, or, you know, also they did it in the 90s Gamera trilogy where he now is psychically connected to the creature.
You know, I don't really understand that because a lot of the people were attacked in India.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right. I don't know if the rest of them died, but for whatever reason, Kang is connected to the creature and he starts having visions, like he can see through its eyes. And when it gets hurt, he can feel its pain, you know, the E.T. thing. So he helps the police track it down and they corner it and capture it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, James is, you know, following around. And after they capture the little creature, it starts, you know, its cries for help. So then we have a scene straight out of, you know, inspired by Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
Where pretty much this whole movie, like you pointed out, is a combination of Jurassic Park and Godzilla 98. But and it's a scene heavily inspired by Jurassic Park where, you know, they got his truck and the ambulance pulled up to the roadside. They find May walking down the street with the egg or whatever.
Yeah.
And the mother creature comes out of the water, I think kills some of their coworkers, and does the whole T-Rex looking in the car windows and attacking the car with the kids in it. And, you know, they try to lure it away and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And during this sequence, Pam is killed. She gets basically grabbed and crushed by the
trust and gutted.
Yeah. It's a semi-successful emotional moment, I guess. It drags on a little too long because they ride an ambulance for a while with her and her dad, like, you know, whatever, doing their mushy-gushy makeup stuff.
We all know Aaron doesn't like that.
Yeah. I just don't like when shows drag out deaths. Like, one of my least favorite deaths of all time is Walking Dead when Carl, like, dies for half an hour. and they just go on and on with boring speeches. This isn't quite that bad, but
yeah.
Part of this movie's problem, like I was talking about, no tension, it's also just very meandering, and it's there's just no urgency. The characters don't have any urgency. Like, there's that one scene we made fun of where the dispatcher radios James, and she's like, "We've got a situation," and he says something. She's like, "We need to be polite," and then he's like, "Oh, sorry," and then she's like, "Some construction workers are being attacked by a creature," and it's just like, "Oh, okay,
wow."
And then like at the end, just like none of the characters get in a hurry to do anything. Like,
no,
at the end when Kang decides that he's gonna drive the creature away, like he just, you know, slowly strolls up to the truck, hugs his sister goodbye, all while the mother creature is stomping down the street, gets in the car, kind of sits there for a while, then starts it, then goes. And I think, like, didn't the police captain order a couple of his guys to drive it away? But I guess those guys just kind of walk away. There's another issue. This is all mostly direction. I don't, these directors just weren't ready for this movie. This type of movie, I don't think. There's a lot of, what's it called? Spatial awareness or character awareness issues where, like they'll just walk away or characters just disappear and you're like, what happened to them? Like, at the end, when the mother creature is bearing down on the population, I'm pretty sure that James just gets out of the ambulance with his dead daughter and the little girl and his partner and just runs off and does other stuff while the mom creature's like right there on top of him and just leaves them in the ambulance. And you're like, where did where'd everybody else go? And like we talked about, the researchers that seemed like they were going to be a big part of the plot and then just disappear.
And they were evacuating that town for like a good day and it didn't even happen.
Yeah. And again, another issue with this movie is that it's too tame. There's just not enough mayhem. Like at the end, I feel like this mother creature, maybe some of this stuff might be budgetary, lack of, but I feel like she should just be wrecking stuff and killing people left and right. But she's just kind of casually strolling down the street. She'll kind of do the T-Rex thing and get down on eye level and stare at people. But
because Aaron, she's only after her child.
Yeah, she's only, because they do it really on the nose, you know. There's the real monster thing at the end. It's like, whatever, kind of eye rolling. But yeah, so, you know, I just think the directors weren't ready for this kind of big budget production. And they weren't really well versed in horror, I don't think. I mean, I don't know their background, his background, whoever it was. But the, what did I say his name? Lee Dong Kang or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel like he was ready for this kind of production. I mean, the picture looks good. Like I said, at times, cinematography is really good. I think the performances are pretty good across the board.
Oh, yeah.
No one is giving a cringy B, you know, B-movie monster performance or anything. But there are just a lot of direction choices and editing choices that I think could have heightened the tension and kept you engaged that they don't take.
No.
But anyway, so yeah, basically at the end of the movie is the mom creature. They kind of do a sterilized version of, remember, The Lost World when the Tyrannosaurus Rex comes to San Francisco and is looking for its baby or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of do that where, you know, she's after the baby. She's just kind of looking for it, strolling down the street. Kang gets in the car and drives away and leads her away, just like, you know, Jeff Goldblum and his girlfriend were speeding down the highway with the convertible with the T-Rex chasing after him and the baby in the backseat or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, again, from 98 when they were chasing, he was chasing the taxi and all that. But also rains a lot. Like, remember in Godzilla 98, like, the whole movie rained.
Rain.
Do a lot of that. At least in this movie, you can explain it away like, oh, it must be the rainy season.
And these people don't care at all.
No, they just, I figure, look, I mean, obviously, I don't know that much about Southeastern Asian culture, but I do know they have a rainy season where it rains basically every day for, I don't know, whatever, 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figure they probably just are used to it. And if you want to go outside, you're just going to have to get wet. And they probably just like accept that. But yeah, but like I said, at least they have an excuse for it in this movie. And in Godzilla 98, they just made New York look like it rained 24/7.
It does not rain that much.
It's like, it just doesn't rain that much in New York. Maybe like in Seattle, you could kind of get away with that because it does rain
it
more,
misty rains a lot in Seattle.
But yeah, anyway, you got anything else to add before we move on to creature effects? Oh, I did want to add, the ending is kind of bonkers. Like, I guess James like quits the force, his whole family is dead now,
yeah,
and becomes a monster hunter or like a archaeologist looking for the origin of these monsters. Because it cuts to 5 years later, he's in a cave or something with all these cave drawings. I guess the history of these monsters.
Looked like they were praised at one point.
Yeah, and then he turns around and the monster's there. So I don't know if he gets eaten. And also Kang, I guess he died.
Yeah.
Like, we just see a shot at the end of the Kruk. Looks like it's being crushed or something.
Mm-hmm.
And some footprints into the sea. So, I don't know. I guess he's dead. Who knows? Again, I could have tied up some loose ends there, but whatever. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to creature design. So, let's start with the baby creature. I don't know. Kind of creature from the Black Lagoon-ish.
It kind of remind me of, what was that Korean movie?
The Host?
It kind of reminds me of The Host.
It kind of, in a way, does, yeah. Remind me of The Host. It's just kind of a man-sized amphibian crocodile hybrid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big one is basically just a bigger version. I mean, I don't hate the design. I think it's fine. It's an amphibian, you know, four-legged creature thing. It works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rolling into effects. I do really appreciate this movie's dedication to practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of animatronics in this movie, blended with CGI. And even the CGI is, especially for a Thai movie, is pretty good. I mean, during the daylight scenes where they have CGI, it does look kind of glossy. But overall, I think the effects are really good. Makeup effects, you know, all that stuff.
It looks pretty good. That's not bad, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot worse in movies like this.
Yeah. At least the animatronics, at least one of the animatronics was like life size, kind of like they did in Jurassic Park. So that really helps and provides a sense of scale, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate that. Effects are good. And then getting into score. I mean, the music, like, if you just listen to it on a soundtrack, is fine. Probably above average.
Yeah.
And it works most of the time. There are definitely times where the score is way more dramatic than the scene that it's being applied to.
Yeah.
And then there's a pop song at the end that I could have definitely done without. But it's whatever, you know. But I will say, on my Blu-ray release, I forgot who put it out, but like the default subtitle setting also has descriptive subtitles.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of got annoying, like intense music, thunder, holding back tears, whimpering. I mean, it's kind of funny and then also kind of annoying at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. But anyway, you want to get into some final thoughts?
Did we talk about score?
Yeah, that's the last time I talked
about.
That
was the last time we
Or you just totally zoned out.
No, I wasn't totally zoned out.
All right, well, you want to start with your final thoughts?
Why not? Final thoughts. You know, this movie, it was not bad. I would say it was decent for what it was, you know? The effects were pretty passable, and in the acting in this movie was pretty good, you know? Best acting I've seen in the last couple of movies we've watched, at least. Yeah. But, you know, effects were good. The score was passable. It fit most of the time, like you were saying, to most of the scenes. But sometimes it, you know, it could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
Creature design was pretty cool. I like the that looked like the look the creature for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
The small one, I think, looked a lot better sometimes than the bigger sized one. I mean, they didn't really show the big one in broad daylight, if you ever noticed. They kind of hid it in the dark scenes.
They hid it in the rain a lot at night. And they tried not to CGI the big one that often. No. They tried to use that animatronic they had, so you didn't get a lot of full body shots.
They only used a small one in the daytime.
Yeah.
Shots. But, you know, that's fine, you know. Made it look less horrible, I guess, than what they would have done.
Rendering costs a lot of money.
You know, I think the movie all in all was decent. I'll give it a solid B.
Really? Yeah, listen, like I said at the beginning, this is a movie that gets it half right. Mm-hmm. I think they got the blend of practical and digital effects just about right. Good performances, you know, sometimes good cinematography, a great setting, a unique setting that we don't get that often just by virtue of being made in Thailand. But they also get a lot of the important stuff wrong. I think this movie is poorly edited, often poorly directed in terms of, you know, keeping up the tension, of keeping track of characters. That's part of the writing, too. And just a sense of a threat. Like, there's mm-hmm. at some point in the movie, it just kind of gets boring because you're like, oh, this monster is not really going to kill anybody. So, I mean, it kills a handful of people, some of them off screen. But especially the big one, you're like, it's pretty harmless.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, it's like as long as they don't antagonize it, it'll just walk by and leave them alone. And there's, you know, a very on the nose, here's the real monster kind of thing at the end. And, you know, a very generic E.T. plot point ripped off that monster movies have done several times by this point. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, so I think it's a middle of the road movie. I think it's a C movie.
Mm.
But I'm glad I watched it just to get, you know, a monster movie from the viewpoint of a country we don't see a lot of movies from. So, you know, it's out there on Blu-ray if you want to check it out. I think it's also streaming on Tubi and maybe some other sites as well. Mm-hmm. So you can watch it. It's only 93 minutes or something.
Terrible.
So it's about the perfect length for a creature feature. Mm-hmm. So, you know, check it out if you got time. That's what I'll say. Including thoughts. But anyway, we do have some exciting ? News.
Kind of.
So, Godzilla, Kong, The New Empire. I've been told by the internet that the X is silent. Second trailer dropped. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's an interesting sight to behold, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
But you know, we see a lot more Kong in this trailer than we did the previous ones. A lot more Kong oriented than Godzilla.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a Kong centric movie, which Godzilla vs. Kong was pretty Kong centric mm-hmm. too, even though they let Godzilla win sort of at the end. But yeah, I mean, it's basically like a live action anime. Bonkers plot. Kong's got a mech arm.
They modified him.
Godzilla goes through like three or four different color power-ups, like a Dragon Ball Z character. You know, we've got monsters coming out of the woodwork.
Ton of more gorillas.
We got our first sort of glimpse at Shimo, the giant female ice kaiju. They don't give you a real good look at her.
No. We get a look at the beam. She shoots.
Yeah, you see the beam, you see its eyes. You see a quick aerial shot of like the city battle
mm-hmm.
where all the kaiju are fighting. You know, I've already spoiled in an earlier episode that, you know, allegedly, again, spoiler alert, Mothra is going to be in the movie. I think it's pretty obvious because there's like the characters go up to like this cocoon thing at some point and touch it and it starts glowing and the natives look like they're worshiping something. So,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll save it for the movie review itself, but I think Mothra actually has had a very interesting journey into this movie. But I'll talk about that when we get to the movie itself in approximately a month and a half. Give or take. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm going to try to go into this movie and meet it on its level. I want to have fun. And I'm sure it'll be bonkers. Whether it's fun or so bad it's good, I'm sure there'll be some entertainment value in there somewhere.
It's gonna be a lot of shock value in what they didn't do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be crazy. But yeah, so looking forward to that, no. I guess. Other than that, what we got? What we got coming up next week?
You got me there.
We are going back to the classics, to the kaiju classic, the golden age, maybe just after the golden age of kaiju cinema. A movie that I can't believe we haven't covered yet, Space Amoeba.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And one of those, you know, Ishiro Honda, Tsuburaya. Mm-hmm. I think Tsuburaya still was working at this point. One of those classics. And we're going to have a lot of fun reviewing that next week. So if you haven't seen it or haven't watched it in a while, revisit it and join us next week and listen to us review that. But other than that, Andrew, why don't you tell them how to find our website?
You can find our website at stonethisway.wordpress.com.
That's right. You can also always contact us at stonethisway1954@gmail.com and find us on Facebook, where I still consistently post once a week about our new episode. But other than that, I think that's all we got for you this week. Again, next week, Space Amoeba. And as always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you in the next one.
ความสุขจะคือ